Welcome to session six of the Trust Challenge Intensives. Yes, thank you very much. It's only my third Sunday off, so I'm still struggling with this, being off on Sunday business. So what do you do? But, hey, Nate, we should make a record of everybody's here and give every one of these people a gold star. Gold star, gold star. We should be giving out gold stars. Everybody's here on time. All right, I'm going to pray and we'll get started. Are y'all ready to start? Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truths that are in it, the revelation you've given us. We just thank you for all the things that you've provided for us already. We know we're going somewhere here, Heavenly Father, with this trust challenge. We know that you're leading us individually. You're guiding us, that you have a great, unique plan for every one of us. We want you to continue to reveal yourself to us tonight so we can see clearer, see better what the plan is, what you have for us, and all the good things that you have for us as we trust you more fully and more completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Nate?
Good to see everybody here tonight. You made it. Did anybody get a nap this afternoon? Anybody wish they had a nap this afternoon? Anybody plan to take a nap in the next 5 minutes? Okay. All right. please wait till after I'm done. When I turn it over to Eddie, you can sleep. Wow. Apologies beforehand. We may or may not have scriptures on the screen. Looks like our personnel is missing in action. So if you know how to do that, please run back to the computer and put up Colossians 1:4. We're going to begin there tonight. We have had quite an adventure together, haven't we? I've cried more in this trust challenge than I have in my whole life. Like, including the time I was a child and a baby. All right. It's been very good. It's been good for the soul, right? Been very good. Hopefully you have gotten a lot out of this and made some connections in your groups. And it's been really cool. A group is already forming in the back. Hey, group four, who will probably disband because many of you are leaders. Okay. Colossians 1:4. All right. We're going to begin there in the Amplified. And I'm going to read a couple verses at the beginning that will sound very familiar, but if you have a smartphone, Bible app, whatever, open up to Colossians 4, or swipe Colossians 1:4 in the Amplified. It says this, "For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." I say faith. Now, faith is a lot like trust. You could say that they are synonyms. "We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." And then the Amplified version, of course, does what to the passage? Amplifies it. Okay, so here's what he talks about in your faith in Christ Jesus. "The leaning of your entire human personality on him in absolute trust and confidence in," and he talks about three things, "confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and of the love which you have and show for all the saints, God's consecrated ones." Now, I want you to see that. His definition for faith is the leaning. Now we're gonna connect the dots here in a second. The leaning of your entire human personality on him, and absolute trust, absolute confidence in three things: God's power, God's wisdom, and God's goodness. All right, let's read in 1 Thessalonians 1:8. It'll sound very familiar. It says in the Amplified, "For not only has the word concerning and from the Lord resounded forth from you unmistakably in Macedonia and Achaia, but everywhere the report has gone forth of your faith in God." Everybody say faith.
Faith.
"Of your leaning of your whole personality on him and complete trust and confidence in his" what? "Power, wisdom, and goodness." So we find that we never need to tell people anything further about it. So we were talking about this, and there's a great parallel in what Paul writes to the Thessalonians and to the church at Colossae, and when he talks about their faith in God's and their trust, their complete reliance in God's goodness, in God's power, and in God's wisdom. Last week we talked a lot about the love of God. Were you here for that? Did you experience the love of God? One person called it the love meeting. And so he was right. We experienced, not only did we know and hear about, but we experienced together the love of God. and it was an incredible time. And that really is, it comes from God's goodness, God's love and God's goodness. God is a good God, isn't he? Hashtag G-I-G, right, Harry? A-T-T. So we trust in God's goodness. We trust in his love. We put total confidence, reliance on his love. He loves us regardless of what? Our past. He loves us regardless of our performance. He loves us regardless of our present circumstances. Second thing he talks about, Paul does, he says, trust in God's power. What is God's power? Everybody say, God is able. God is able. God's power is his ability. Not only does he love us and he's willing to pour out his goodness upon us, but he's able. He's able. He's able to do all that he said he would do. He's able to do all that he said he would do in his word. His word is full of promises and he's powerful enough to back it up. If I ever make a promise, sometimes circumstances may lead me astray. I may not be able to fulfill the promise that I make to you. Maybe I have the desire to fulfill a promise. Maybe I just have a desire to promise you something. But my human ability can fail. But God's ability never fails. He is powerful and he is able. And then finally, we trust in God's wisdom. The Amplified puts it this way. It defines wisdom in the Proverbs as comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. Comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. Now let's go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You should know this. It should be tattooed on your heart, engraved there. Trust in the Lord, he writes, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. All right, so if we stop there, that's great. We got the flannel graph up. We got the scripture on the board. We got the heart. We got the brain. We got all that stuff. But wait a second. There's more to this chapter in Proverbs than just those two verses. So as we read on, let's look at verse 7. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Look at your neighbor and tell him that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You're having a little too much fun in that. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, he says. The New Living, it says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You see, there's a difference between, and Proverbs is a book of wisdom. You guys know that, right? It's a whole book full of wisdom. If you want to get wisdom, just start reading there. It's more than just cliche. It's more than just religious saying. It's more than just something somebody's going to embroider on a napkin and put at their table. It's powerful. It's wisdom that we all need. Right? It's the word of God. But there's a difference between God's wisdom and human wisdom, right? And oftentimes there's a stark contrast between God's wisdom and human wisdom. That's why he says, hey, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on what? Your own understanding. He's basically saying, hey, don't trust your wisdom. Don't trust in human wisdom, but lean on him. Okay? Put all of your entire human personality in trusting him, all right? So there's a difference between God's wisdom and human wisdom. God's wisdom says, listen on the inside. The human wisdom would say, make a list of the pros and cons, all right? So you see a difference there. And we heard about this morning. God's wisdom would say, follow the leader. Follow the Holy Spirit. The human wisdom would say, follow the world and what everybody else is doing. We're walking around like zombies most of the time, just going after whatever the world is seeking, right? God's wisdom would say, do what God says. Follow the word, right? Human wisdom would say, do what your mom says. And sometimes those would be in agreement, what mom says and what God says. Hopefully that's most of the case there. But often, God's wisdom and human wisdom are in conflict, aren't they? In fact, the wisdom of God can look like foolishness to the world. Have you ever been there? Ever been in a position where you knew that you'd heard from God and you knew what to do and you did it, but it didn't, like, to anybody else, they would have been like, what in the world are you doing? That seems foolish. I'll tell my own story in a second, but what's the end result though? Like, I would rather look foolish to the world and be acting in God's wisdom and get God's result than doing what the world says and getting what the world has. Amen? So the end result is far better. What are we promised? Well, I'm glad you asked. What's in it for me? Proverbs 3, let's scroll on down to verse 13. Reading the New Living, it says, joyful is the person who finds wisdom. Joyful. Everybody do a big smile for me. Yeah. Act like you just found, because what would you do if you just found a buried treasure? Would you be excited? Would you be happy? Finders keepers, buddy. Come on. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom. And why? The one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. It's better than X marks the spot, guys. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you, what does she have? Long life in her right hand, riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. Get wisdom. My goodness, what are we seeking after? What are we going after? What are we searching for in the American dream when all we have to do is seek after wisdom, God's wisdom, and look at the end result? It's far better. Far better than a daily wage. Far better than anything we could seek after with our own human understanding. Far better than what the world has to offer. Wisdom carries with it these things. But I said God's wisdom and human reasoning often conflict each other. A couple years ago, we began trying for a second child. And we said, hey, we want to have another baby. It's time. So let's get started. And so we tried for 2 years for Adelie. And didn't seem like anything was working. We didn't know what was going on. We saw some specialists. They couldn't tell us, it seems like you're doing everything right. You had one already. Something's working, right? And so, through just the course of events, we saw the doctor and we just prayed about it. We were believing God for supernatural favor. We were believing God for supernatural conception and for God's help in this process, because it wasn't seeming to work. And it can be very disappointing when you're trying for a child and it doesn't work, right? You guys know, but the promise is in your hands. There you go. Praise God. So some of you have been down that road before, and it was getting very disappointing. And we were saying, what are we doing wrong? Is our faith messed up? What's going on here? We know God has promised that, and it's even a command, be fruitful and multiply. So God, we're acting upon your word here, but nothing seems to be happening. And so we just listened on the inside and we prayed and we felt at one point, we did several different things that God had told us to do, but we felt at one point impressed, Holy Spirit impressed on us to give away all of our baby stuff, the stuff that we had kept from Karis's birth. And in the natural, in human wisdom would say, wait a second, you're wanting to have a baby. Why would you give away the baby stuff that you have, like a crib, like everything? I'm talking everything, clothes, crib, swing, pack and play, everything. Don't keep anything. And so we pulled it all out of storage and we cried over much of it because it was sentimental. And we're like, God, you really asking? It was one of the most difficult things that we've ever had to do, to give away this stuff. But we felt so impressed that this is God. He's leading us to do this. This is God's wisdom in this situation, what he would have us to do. And it didn't make sense to the world. The world would say, why are you giving away baby items when you are wanting to have a baby? And then we thought, well, maybe we'll have a boy. And sure enough, we have a girl. And so the pink things that we've given away are pink things that we need. But the thing is, the child that we have is far greater than the stuff we could ever give away. And I can say that with absolute confidence. God's wisdom is better than human reasoning. And oftentimes they'll conflict with each other. And oftentimes you may look and feel foolish doing it. But if you trust in his wisdom and do what he tells you to do, you're going to get what Proverbs says you're going to have. Because that's how God's word works. Amen? Eddie, do we have any scriptural precedents for this?
I think I know one. Y'all flipping your Bibles with me to 2 Kings. No, excuse me. There it is. 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. I'm going to start reading in verse 10. 1 Kings 17, verse 10. Now, this is talking about the prophet Elijah. And there's a famine in the land. Oh, no, it's not raining because he'd commanded it not to rain. And so it's not raining. So he goes to Zarephath, whatever. As he arrived at the gates of the village, I'm reading this in the NLT, guys. He saw a widow gathering sticks and asked her, "Would you bring me a little water in a cup?" As she was going to get it, because she was just, you know, obeying the man of God, she was just going to go get him a cup of water. He calls her and says, "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God, I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal. Then my son and I will die." So she's in a pretty dire situation, isn't she? I mean, she's in a situation where she's got a little bit of flour and just a little bit of oil. Now she's out gathering sticks to make the last meal, her last supper, her last meal. She's out gathering sticks for that, and she runs into the man of God. Man of God says, "Bring me something to drink." So she's willing to stop gathering the sticks for the last supper to go serve the man of God, bring him some water. But then he demands upon her, or puts a demand on her, for this a bite of bread. But she's only got enough bread for one last meal. She's only got enough for just one meal. That's all she's got enough for. So that's kind of a interesting situation, right? So wisdom would say, earthly wisdom would say, human wisdom would say, "I'll get you the water, but I'm going to go ahead and get the, you know, we're going to do the plan I got, which is we're going to eat our last meal, and you know, the promise is not too great. We're going to die. That's what we're planning on doing. But that's what we're going to do. We're not going to stop the plan, you wouldn't think. I mean, I'm down to just one meal. Would I give that one meal away?" So Elijah said, "Do not be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said. But make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son." She's got to be thinking, "Didn't you just hear what I said? I've got enough for one meal, one. If I make you a meal, it's just going to be enough for my son because I won't eat it. I'm a good mother. I'm not going to eat the last meal. I'll let my son eat. But then we'll still die." "Do not be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends the rain and the crops grow again." So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised to Elijah. But you know, we all run into situations where the wisdom of God will come to us in a word. They come to us in a moment when we're in a situation that looks like there's no other way out. And sometimes that word that comes to us is contrary to everything we've ever thought and everything we've ever done before. It's contrary to that. And human wisdom, earthly wisdom, would tell us to just say hello It's been good to see you, preacher man. Hope you have a nice day in the city. But we, me and the boys, we got another plan when we're going to eat our meal and we're going to die. Because that's what we're going to do. And he says, well, go ahead and do that. Just make my bread first. How crazy would that be if the news people had been there that day and saw the man of God demand on the widow the first cake, there'd be a report at 6 o'clock. It had been reported at 11 o'clock that the religious, you know, the preacher man's going around taking the little woman's bread. Right? That's the way they would have probably said it a little different, but that's what they would have done. But you see, God has a plan for every one of us. He has a plan of provision. And His plan doesn't usually come through the way we think it ought to come. His plan doesn't come in the way that they've thought things through. Now, instead of just holding on to that last meal, God had a better plan, but involved her giving her last meal. So she took that little tiny bit of oil. She had enough for one meal. One meal. Had a little bit of oil. Just a little bit of oil. Just a little bit. Oil just on the bottom of the jug. Just a little bit of flour. You know, scrape that little bit of flour together. Had enough for one. One meal. But she took that one meal. And she gave it to the man of God first. Because, you see, God's got a plan. He's got a plan. He's got a plan to sustain them. He's got a plan to provide for them. He's got a plan that in the middle of drought, in the middle of famine, that He's going to take care of them. Because the word of the Lord says that you will not run out of oil, nor will you run out of flour until the rains come. And then it really goes on to say, until the crops come in. So it's not just when the rain starts raining again. It's until the crops come back in. So how long is that going to be? At that point in the story, nobody even knows how long the drought is going to be. But it's going to be a long time. But if it was just a year, just 1 year, and I mean, that's what the historical people tell us, is at least a year is more than the season. So how many meals is that? She gave one. One life-sustaining meal was all she had. She gave that one to the man of God. Then she went back and poured her one for herself and one for her son. Then she, you know, the miracle was that she went back and poured one for herself and poured one for her son. That, can you see the amount of trust that's in that moment? What trust there must have been right there in that moment for her to trust the man of God enough to do that, to give it up, and then to trust and go back and do it again. And then the next meal, she goes back and the miracle happens again. Pours it out. Makes enough for her to have a meal, the prophet of God to have a meal, the son to have a meal. And then the next time they need a meal, she goes back. Got the jar of oil. It's still on the bottom. There's just enough oil in the bottom of the jug for one more meal. There's just enough flour for one more meal. But they ate one more meal. One more meal. Every day. I mean, how often do you guys like to eat? You know, some people say that you should eat 5 times a day. Is that what you're doing, Janet? Are you going to do that 5 times a day deal? Okay, to keep your metabolism going. Some people just eat one big meal a day. But they kept dipping into the jar that had enough for one meal, and they kept getting supplied. See, in that time of drought, you know, there are things that happen in the world. You and I can't control the world. We're not in control. God's not in control. There's stuff going on. But in the midst of all that, God's got a plan. He's got a plan for every one of us. If we will heed his wisdom, if we'll follow what he says, even when it looks contrary to what the world says, when it goes exactly opposite of what the world says to do, if we will follow it, God's plan will not just sustain us, but it will take us all the way through until there's crops again coming in. Not just when it starts raining. No, it's going to keep supplying us until we get all the way through to where he's got it for us to be. There is no short supply in God. But if this woman had just eaten the one meal for her and her kids, she would have missed what God's plan was. Totally missed it. Would God have had another plan for the prophet? Absolutely. But God was working on trying to save her and her son. You know what the bonus of this story is? I didn't read it at the very end. But the bonus of this story is, after the time is over and it's raining and there's crops coming in, the woman's son gets sick and he passes away. He dies. But she's got a relationship already with the man of God. Really, her relationship is beyond the man of God. Her relationship is with God. Because, you know, the man of God may have been out doing some deal one day when she's in there making the meal. Man of God's not there. It's just this deal is between her and God at this point. She is just pouring out that oil, scraping up that flour, making another meal. This is between her and God. But her son dies. And she trusts God, through the man of God, to bring her son back. She had built enough trust, because that sustained her all that time. She knew she could count on him. If God the Father would provide for her in the drought, in the famine, in the hard times, he absolutely, positively, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is going to bring her boy back. And that was a bigger deal. She made the decision some time ago that she's going to lose him because she's going to lose her own life when she was going to just eat the one meal and die. But she found out God's plan wasn't for her to die or for him to die. And now, when he does die, well, she's hooked up to the power of God. And she trusts in that power. And that power and that trust brings her boy back. Hey, that's bonus. So God's got a plan for every one of us. And his plan is greater and bigger than anything we've ever dreamed or thought possible. Because he knows just what you need. And he will sustain you and bring you through. And those things that you had no clue about, if you'll trust him and what you can do today, and trust him with what you got in your hand today, you can trust him and count on him when you get to the point where, oops, well, you can trust him there too. Because he will deliver you. So, but you have to follow wisdom. Wisdom's what we're talking about. Wisdom. So how many meals are we talking about? She ate off of that. How many meals? Three times a day. Three people. For 365 years. It was 365 days. 365. For a whole year. 365 days. That's 3,320 meals. 3,320 meals. Do we have 3,320? Do we have that many? How many? Do we got any plates in the back? I'd like to illustrate this so we can see how many is that? Okay. Oh, now I got a good plate. These are the skimpy plates. So there's a difference in the stack. If this had been, it'd be like this, you know. 3,320. 3,320. Spread these out. Let's see how this looks. What's this look like? Put this somewhere. Don't stack it where anybody else has got their stacked. Give me, I need a hand. I need a hand here. Yeah, put them wherever. We got God is providing off of one meal. God is providing off of one dish. God is providing. God is, His provision is bigger than you think. God is providing provision. Spread them out. Spread them out. Spread them out. So you can see His provision. His provision is bigger than you think. It all started with one plate, one meal, one dish, enough to feed two people, and they were going to die. Every day they went back. Every day they went back. Every day. Every day, three times a day for all three of them, they went back and poured oil, got some flour. $3,300. Glory to God. Glory to God. If God would do this for one widow woman, what's He going to do for us? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. One dish, one meal, one thing changes it. Glory to God. What? Yes. Because I want you I want you to see God's provision. I want you to see God's plan. God don't want you to die. God doesn't want you to do without. God doesn't want you to just suffer the consequences of the system or the day or the hour. God wants you to be blessed. It's incredible, isn't it? We're almost got them all down. So, Tanya, is there any doubt that God's going to take care of you? Can we trust God? I mean, can you see the provision? This is one thing. Just one thing. Just taking and obeying His word, it's contrary to what we would think. Contrary. Instead of eating the one meal and dying, she gave the man of God a meal. And God provided, took care of her family. Three meals a day. Three people. For a year. So if God would do this for her, and she's not even born again. This is pre-Jesus. I mean, we got other ones we could talk about that's after Jesus. But if you put your trust in God, put your trust in what He says to you, put your trust in His Word, He will absolutely, positively, without a shadow of a doubt, come through and go over what you were expecting. It's going to be better than what you're expecting. She was expecting to eat a meal and die. So this is really beyond her expectation. This is provision. 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 This is our God. This is who we serve. This is who we trust. Listen to His wisdom. Find His wisdom. Search for His wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, Proverbs tells us. Get that wisdom and obey it. It all came down to a simple choice for her. Because she was willing to go and get the water. That's not a life-threatening deal for her. She'll get the water. But when He puts the demand on her for the last biscuit, she lets Him know exactly where she's at. What's going on? He says, fear not. Don't be afraid. God's got this. God's got it. He's got your back. He's got it. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. You go ahead and bring mine first. Do exactly as you say. Make that meal. Bring mine first. But you'll continue to pour out. You'll continue to have enough until the crops come in. And she did. And God did. That's what we need to do. What is God saying? What is God saying to you? He's got wisdom for you. Are you listening? Can you hear Him? He's got something for you. Wisdom from Him for you. That's not somebody else's wisdom. It's not meant for somebody else. It's meant for you. Are you listening? Because here's the difference. It could be one meal. Or it could be all these meals. One meal or all these meals. One meal and die or all these meals and live and get your kids raised up from the dead. What do we want? God's way is better. His plan is better. What is He saying? Brother Roberts used to always say, there's a miracle coming towards every one of us every day. Each and every day, there's miracles coming towards us and going past us. Because we won't listen, we won't receive them, we won't hear them, we won't act on them. What's He saying to you? We need to listen. Nate?
Hey, I don't think you're seeing what I'm seeing up here. Can you stand up to your feet for a second? Can you just look around? Can we just get a little excited about the provision of God? Can we get a little excited about God sustaining us and doing a little bit more than we could ask, more than we could ever imagine, more than we can see with our physical eyes, but what He can see and what He has in store for us? And I saw some people that were kind of giddy about passing out and being distributors of some plates tonight. I want you to see yourself passing out some plates. I want you to see yourself passing out provision and being a distribution center of God's provision. Can we just rejoice over what God's done for us and what He's gonna do? God, we thank You. Woo! Father, we believe it. We receive Your provision tonight. Provision and sustenance for our here and now, sustenance for our future. God, we receive it tonight. We thank You. We thank You that You are a God who provides. You are a God who sustains. You are a God who gives life and raises the dead. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. And Father, we confess now that we receive Your wisdom. We receive wisdom from heaven for our situation,
for our here and now, right now. What's the next step for us? Thank you, Jesus. Because we see beyond the moment. We see beyond the here and now, Father. We see beyond what we're going through right now, presently. And we thank you that you have wisdom for us in this situation and that you have wisdom for us for the future and provision that will carry us through. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Praise God. Amen. So here's what we want you to do. On your way to your group, you're going to pick up a plate or two or 20 and 50 and take them to your group because you're going to use that as an activity, all right? So go ahead and do that. Head to your group.